Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
It's so fucking tough.
I'm not doing that. I'm still not doing that.
All right. Why not?
So it's good to see you. You've been away. You survived. Yeah. I can't wait to hear about the bullet trains, Mount Fuji.
So much to tell. So many pictures.
Mm-hmm. How many $5,000 watermelons you bought? You know, can't get wait to hear about it.
Because I'm a baller, a watermelon baller. How are you? How have you been? What have you been up to? 2 weeks.
I know it's been 2 weeks without a lot of collaboration. So I'm energized by this, you know, that you're back. We can talk on a daily basis again, work on a daily basis. So very excited. Progress has been made on the product, on all the things, website, brand. I've just been able to make, continue making changes and updates and improvements, and hope that we have some more good news on the consulting front. So,
yes, sir. Yes. More important question. Are you nursing a Happy Birthday America hangover?
No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. I have switched back to non-alcoholic drinks.
Oh, okay.
Except for wine. But otherwise, if it's liquor or beer, I'm not doing it. 0.0 wine, no way.
Good deal. Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
how about yourself?
Travel back. I'm airplane hangover. Fourth of July was like a travel day for us. So sorry, America.
You got to see it from the sky, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we'll kick off into the review here. We're going back to an article that we talked about 2 weeks ago that you found on executives and decision-making and alignment. There was more going on in that article that we felt that would be a two-parter. So kick things off for us here on part two.
Yeah, so much in that article. Again, the title of the article, it's on CFO.com. Only 36% of executives say their decision-making style aligns with the organization's. What a long title. Lots of data in that article because it's based on a survey that they did. One of the themes that kind of came out of that was around decision-makings and confidence. And so there's a quote that said, or a statistic, I guess, about half of senior executives said that they're confident in their company's ability to make a decision. And so this just feels like a recurring theme for me over the past year, probably more than the past year, if I'm being honest. You're just like doing the work that we do with folks who are business owners, who are new to being a business owner, their company is growing. It's hard for them to know they're doing the right things. I've been in this situation too with people on the kind of like internal team side as leaders who feel, is the right word, stymied by decision-making because they're scared of making the wrong move. And it's like, if you don't make a move, you're not doing anything. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about this kind of like confidence. I think the way that I've seen it is there's a little bit of imposter syndrome with some folks when it comes to making a decision, particularly when their role is an owner, someone who is responsible for an entire company and people and their careers and their livelihood. I think when it gets to things like big changes, hiring, firing, doing reviews, communicating bad news, not sure when to do the right thing, like there's just so much in that I think brings out a lot of anxiety in people who have to make decisions. But again, you can't not make decisions because you're not sure what to do. And I often wonder, like, how can I push you to just take a leap of faith? What's your experience with that?
So the The imposter thing, I think, comes from a lot of people that got to where they are, not because someone told them like, hey, I ordain you ready. Like, you know the things, you're good. Right. And especially in the creative world, there's a lot of leaders that just, you know, they just kept at it. And then they find themselves one day with employees, with having to provide healthcare and these things that had nothing to do with the vocation that got them there in the first place. Right. And so the imposter syndrome, and you and I have seen this so many times at the Bureau of Digital, especially on those events with owners, but even leaders, executives, like everybody has some amount of imposter syndrome. It's just a matter of like how that fear comes out, how it manifests itself to the outside world. Right. But this thing of, I feel like the imposter syndrome comes from believing that there's someone else knows more, or someone else knows better, or someone else just knows. Right. So you take a look at some people that are seemingly decisive. They're making decisions. They prioritize. They move forward. And I believe that imposter syndrome is made from the assumption that those people somehow know better than I do. Right. When the reality is, it's like, nope, there's just some people that are good with doing a number of things. Like, they're following their gut for better or for worse, or they're moving forward with what data they have. Right. And I think there's a third part to this too, which is they're okay if it fails. They're okay making the decision and make a mistake, recalibrate, and move forward. Right. In the times I've seen imposter syndrome, and especially this whole thing around confidence and making decisions, it's this weird, I don't know where it comes from, but this weird fear of like, this is too important to screw up, when it should be conversely that it's too important not to do something.
Right.
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 I mean, you talk about the firing. That's a huge one. How many owners have you and I worked with separately, with owners that needed to get rid of somebody because they were toxic in their organization?
Right.
Right. Like, the longer you let this person just sit there and do what they're doing, the more it's going to tear apart your company. You're just going to erode more trust from the people that are left behind. Like, get them out of there.
So true. I worked with an owner who didn't want to get rid of a person. They knew the person should be let go. Didn't want to get rid of the person because of the optics and the timing. And all I could say was, you are damaging people's daily kind of productivity and ability to get work done because you're just keeping an ineffective, horrible person on your team who's actually becoming more toxic by the day.
Yeah.
And it's like, optics don't matter when it's people's feelings involved. You can talk through why, when, how, all of that, maybe not how, to your employees, but to just hold off on that decision just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. I feel like the you know, in a lot of leaders ascend to where they are with not a lot of training, maybe even with not a lot of education. I think it's natural for us to look to our left and to our right and you know, try to find someone who we think knows better than we do or knows more than we do. But I also believe that there is a need. This is something you and I could work on, is how do we build up somebody's self-confidence? Maybe not to 100%, but geez, even like give them 10% more confidence to make it prioritize, right? Like, choose one problem over the other, work to solve it, and move on. And if something breaks, good. You fix it, patch it, whatever, and move on. But I feel like the indecision and not doing these things does as much erosion to the foundation of your company and your creative teams as making about it. That does more damage than making a decision to move forward. People want to see action. Every time I've led a team and we've been decisive and have moved forward, didn't always mean that we met with success, but people always come up to me and say, you're doing it. You're actually doing a thing. You're making a decision. And they appreciated that more than the success or the failure of what it is we're trying to accomplish.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting topic, but the confidence in decision making, because there's an aspect of making any kind of decision in your life that's you're not going to feel confident about all the time. I also see a little bit of a tangent here, but indecision as a result of trying to get too many opinions to weigh in.
Oh my gosh.
It's like,
yes.
It's like, how do you, there's got to be a balance, right? It's like, I don't feel confident, so I want to get other people's opinions. Then you have five different opinions and you still just need to make your decision. Like, what's your opinion? How do you feel?
Yeah. But even to your point of like the tangent you went on, I once had a design team go and research a problem. And I said, don't talk to any more than eight people. If you get to eight, if you can get to that, I want you to stop because we don't have much time. We've got to go.
Yeah.
They somehow figured out a way to talk to 42 different
people. Oh my
people.
God. Whoa.
So by the time I got to them and realized the problem, they didn't know what to do. They'd gone so far, they were paralyzed because they'd heard so many different opinions. There was no weight to any one of them. Right. And so, yeah.
And they had no framework for how to make that decision after they gathered all of those opinions. That's the thing that I think, just to kind of like button this up, like,
yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize that you don't just make decisions based on what's in your head. Like, there are ways to map things out, prioritize things, weigh things. It's not just like a pros and cons list. Like, there are a lot of different ways that you can kind of use tools to help you make decisions. And I think people forget that a lot because of the anxiety of a decision.
Absolutely. We need to create more content. We've got so much to say on this.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. All right, let's move on. So let's move into the hit list. Should I kick it off?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm watching House of the Dragon, but only season one. And I've been through the first three episodes three times now because I keep just like checking out on it. So now season two's out. I will get into it. But if Raul Anders is out there at all listening, that guy made me DVDs of Game of Thrones when it first came out. And I was like, I couldn't do it. I just finally got through Game of Thrones this past
year. You almost need to do a stakeholder map on that program because there's like 100 people in it, right?
Oh my gosh, like, there's probably more.
Oh my God, there's so much. Yeah, I don't know how you keep track of that.
All right,
so I've got an article from a longtime friend of mine, Naz Hamid, and he's a product designer, a longtime product designer. And he wrote a blog post called Balancing Tools and Culture. And he talks about how his team went from, he doesn't mention it, but it's Basecamp to Slack. And on a particular project, they just moved to Apple Messages, right? Good old fashioned SMS. And he talks about how, like, in a lot of ways, because Messages has come a long way and you can share documents now, you can search messages, you know, go back and, you know, your knowledge library, and talks about how that actually worked out even better than Slack. And there's a little rant here about, you know, kind of go like these software platforms that we use, they just get so bloated because of enterprise requirements and things like that. But one of the things I love about this is, you know, it's, we don't need more features to do our jobs. We don't need more crap. What he says is the real investment is in the culture. Getting your team to adopt guidelines and workflows that benefit everyone is more important than what a tool might be able to do for you. And I just thought, like, oh my God, Brett, has this guy been in our documents? Like, is he seeing, you know, what we're writing? Because that is right up there with, you know, what you and I believe. And anyway, it was good to see.
Say, a quick hot take.
Yeah.
Messages for my team messaging, I don't love, because if I'm an employee, I know Naz probably works with a small team. So like with us, Messages would be fine. In fact, we go between Slack and Messages often. But
yes,
that's probably annoying and that's my fault. But I think if I'm an employee and you're putting me into Messages versus a platform and you're mixing like my home life and my communications with family and friends, I don't love that. I don't love that. And there's no balance between the tool and culture in that instance.
Totally right. I think the emphasis here was just on, you don't need all the crap that's in sizing. Slack.
Exactly. Yeah, and I agree with that sentiment so much. Yep. All right. So my second for the hit list this week is an article called "The End of Work Spouses and Office Besties: Why Now More Than Ever Work Is Not Your Family." So this is like, you know, tale as old as time, people acting like work is family. It's like a dangerous and toxic situation to ever get into. But basically this article is saying that now that folks are remote and hybrid, and honestly, like, generational changes, essentially, like, people are focused more on a healthy work-life balance. They're not as excited about making connections at work. I don't know about you. Like, I still like to be able to make a connection at work. And in fact, I just left a client last week, and definitely can say, like, I've got a lot of friends within that team, which is cool. I don't know if I would go I've had the work bestie situation where, like, you're going out to lunch every day and you go to happy hours and it's like fun. I haven't had that in years and years and years. And sometimes I do miss it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. And let's also remember the reason that we don't have a work family is because it's hard to tell family no.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't fire your family.
Nope, you can't. So my last one here is an article called Metatrends by a guy named Matt Klein. This guy is new to me, and I don't remember how I came across this article, but he is a futurist who's gone through a lot. He went through and took a look at a lot of trending reports, or, you know, trends reports, and kind of went through and came back with, like, here are the top hits of what's coming out of all of these things. And so it's just something kind of to, you know, kind of a nice assessment of a number of trends reports and things that this guy is seeing that kind of transcends all of them. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you've never heard of foresight, it's interesting practice. And it's not meant to predict the future. It's meant to provide different tangible futures that could happen. It's something I studied a couple of years back and I thought it was fascinating. So this article in particular, I thought was really interesting to take a look at that. Take a look at what's coming out of all these. I think is like 70 global reports that he went through to come back with what he's seeing as trends.
Yeah, it's cool. All right.
So time for the high five.
High five.
What are you high-fiving?
Independence. Thank you, 4th of July. America.
Screw you, British. We're still here. Still rocking. Yeah. High five. I'm going to call it halftime for 2024, July 4th. I know it's like, you know, precisely halftime, but it just feels like, all right, you know, the sun's starting to come down. We're about ready to, you know, kind of bobsled into fall and into winter. And so this is, I think, probably my most favorite time of the year. But it also means, you know, you've got Q3, Q4. And I feel like this is a time when everybody kind of, you know, flips a leaf because they have to, because they want to, because they've got a lot of things to get done. So we can all take a break during Christmas. So we're halftime 2024. Wow, high five.
Already. High five. All right. Well, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Brett and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.